Well, praise the Lord for this wonderful ministry of music and this great service of commissioning for the Edinburgh International team. It's a real pleasure to be able to personally be here with you folks this evening. It's a bunch of Yanks up here. Did you notice that team? I just was thinking of that. But we're here. God's led us here, and it's just a real pleasure. It's always like coming home to Carrubbers, because we've been involved here in, off and on for quite a few years, as we'll share in a few moments. But we've been on a ministry trip for 7.5 weeks, my wife and I. At least she was here for part of it, in the Faroe Islands for New Tribes Mission. We have a lot of Faroese, and you know where that Logos Hope came from the Faroe Islands, and they're all excited about that there. They invite us to do the Each One, Reach One, Teach One seminar there and speak in churches. Just to sort of drag out some more missionaries out of there. They're the greatest missionary sending nation in the world. That's why we go there. Even the chairman of New Tribes Mission is Faroese, would you believe? Not an American. So then we've been in Germany and then in Scotland here. And then Carolyn went back to be with her parents to take care of her father who's poorly. And then to New Tribes Bible Institute down in Lincolnshire. Had the pleasure of helping with their conference there and also being involved in teaching each one, reach one, each one, teach one thing. That thing keeps going and going and going, but God seems to continue to use it. We've not always been with New Tribes Mission. Carol and I actually started out with this Biblical Ministries Worldwide in Austria in 1972. And got a lot to show you up here this evening. It's all up here. I sort of work off the screen. I think some of you remember that from me. All my notes are up there, so you can watch with me. But we worked in Austria from 1972 to 1982 in church planting, evangelism, had a printing ministry there. And then in England, and a missionary team there in church planting in the Midlands of England. And then we came to Edinburgh. And that's where our history with Scotland, or with Carrubbers started in 1987. 1987. I predate Wayne Sutton. Actually, it was a missions team. Some people say, where did this guy come from? Well, some of you probably heard that story, but he actually came like a team like you folks are, on a summer team. And you know, it's so reminiscent when he's up there playing that guitar. You know, he hasn't played that for years and years, and it's sort of been resurrected, but I can remember Wayne Sutton here, can't you? Those first years with the McLean Singers, or McLean Musicians, it was called, out on the streets here, and this place was an antique in those days, long before the renovation. And Wayne came back in the following year. He fell in love with Scotland that year and came back the following year on a placement, just like Mikey here, sort of in a ministry. And he fell in love with Sarah. That's how we got him. And came back and was youth minister here with Brian Russell Jones, whom I was working with already. And we invited Wayne to come. And then of course, during those years, we had ministry with the Moors, who we've been talking about already this evening out there among the Inupang people. And some other people came through here in those days. The Shalines, the McIntoshes. We've had the wonderful ministry with these folks. Simon Flanagan, of course, and Leslie McKnight. Maybe Paul's less known here. Leslie McKnight went through our School of Discipleship. And Kevin and Hannah Lees, these folks are New Tribers, so I thought I'd show you their pictures this evening. Kevin and Hannah are no longer in the Philippines, but they're in Norway, still active with New Tribes there. And just really exciting. We had an open door sort of ministry in those days, and Daniel and Elizabeth were very much involved in that, out on the streets here, and it's been very exciting over the years. Well, it was during that time that not only were we involved with Carrubbers, but We were really, really excited to see this place really growing. And by 1991, you know, we were 200 here. We were 200, and I think we were already in the new hall here that was renovated. And I just had a real burden that we not only were training the students in discipleship and out on the streets here to make disciples in the universities, but we really wanted to give them a broader vision. And so Carol and I just sort of started inviting New Tribes missionaries here. And they came and showed us these videos from New Tribes and told us about people who want to hear the gospel but can't. And in those days, a lot of us were burdened. Daniel and Elizabeth caught their vision then as well. And Carol and I were sort of praying, here we are, Lord, send these students. And it didn't happen that way. Only happened that way. The Lord burdened our hearts. And we made a big change in ministry after 23 years. Very comfortable, very excited to be here. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just says, okay, Tom and Carolyn, off with New Tribes Mission. We saw these videos and these things telling us about people who want to hear the gospel but can't. And then after these missionary weekends that we had organized and times when we had missionary services, we went back out on the streets like you folks will be doing and like Corrupters does on a regular basis, trying to reach people who can hear the gospel but don't want to. They're everywhere here in the West. That burdened us. And, you know, we are also burdened by this statement by Oswald J. Smith, the pastor of the People's Church in years past. He's with the Lord now, of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. Greatest missionary sending church in the world, really, financially anyway. He made this statement, why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everyone's heard it once? And I asked myself, yes, why? Why not? So we've become more and more burdened about getting involved in this organization called New Tribes Mission. And if there's a verse of scripture that really iced the cake for Carolyn and I, it was this passage here where we were teaching this, of course, in the School of Discipleship, a real primer on personal evangelism, the Lord Jesus, the Master at work with the woman at the well. And in the background of that passage, there's this thing going on with the disciples going into town to buy food, verse 8, and then of course they came back and offered the Lord Jesus food, and he said this, my food is, he said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that term there, finish his work, was what I needed to really make a big change in our lives and ministry. Finish his work. We saw New Tribes as an outfit really focused on finishing his work, getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we get that funny name, of course, from the purpose statement. It came before the name, actually, the purpose statement of New Tribes Mission, reaching new tribes until the last tribe is reached. It's so exciting that Corrupters has gotten involved in that, in reaching a new tribe, the Inupang people. We'll be talking a little bit about that later on, but it was all about for us the finishing the Great Commission. As we look at the Great Commission this evening, it's what I'm supposed to do. They call us not just representatives for New Tribes Mission, they're calling us now mobilizers, mobilizing people to pray and mobilizing people to send others. But also mobilizing people to go short term or long term, giving their lives, as some of these you've seen on the screen here already, to reach new tribes until the last tribe is reached. Well, the Great Commission is so familiar, but too familiar sometimes, and we miss what it's telling us many times. It's a very clear commission. It's interesting that we have four Gospels. Four Gospels giving four different viewpoints, wonderful viewpoints of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. But we also have, really, we have four viewpoints of the Great Commission. And that is making it very clear. In Mark's Gospel, Wayne was telling me this morning that he shared this before, of course, quite a while ago. Just the different aspects of the Great Commission. In Mark's Gospel, we have this very familiar verse, which I like to call the who of the Great Commission. Go, and therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? Every creature. The who of the Great Commission. Who are we to preach the gospel to? Every creature. Luke's gospel is a little bit different. It's just the Holy Spirit's giving us more light and telling us and showing us a different aspect, the what of the Great Commission. What are we to preach to every creature? Repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Well, there's the who and the what, but if we go to the gospel or the book of Acts that Luke recorded for us, we have the easy one, really, the where of the Great Commission, the geography of the Great Commission. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Great Commission. The where of the Great Commission. We come to the Gospel of Matthew. We come to the Gospel of Matthew. We have yet another very important, the most important really, the one, the big question, the how of the Great Commission. How are we to preach the gospel to every creature? How are we to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations? How are we to do it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth? It's very clear in Matthew's gospel to go and make disciples, yet different. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all things that I have commanded you. That's the who, what, where, and how of the Great Commission there. And we sort of based our each one, teach one seminar. That's where it grew out of this clarity of the Great Commission to go and make disciples. We had the School of Discipleship here. We still run this as part of our ministry in churches in the States. Going not just to do missionary meetings, but doing training, partnering with local churches. Just the basics of discipleship. The basics. We have the IBS here. We really burdened, even in the earlier days when we started the School of Christian Discipleship here as a parallel program, to train and to ground new believers, particularly, and growing believers in the basics of the gospel, in the basics of the Word of God. Well, this whole thing of each one reaching one, each one teaching one, is really how it happens and how churches grow and how God really intended that everybody be involved in this thing called the Great Commission. Each one reaching one, each one teaching one, so that each one would reach and teach those that we reach would reach and teach others also. That spiritual multiplication. Well, we have the who and the what and the where and the how here, but the thing that I want to address this evening is the why of the Great Commission. An even bigger theme and bigger question. Why? Why do we do this? What's the why of the Great Commission? I think to understand the why of the Great Commission, we got to really do what New Tribes is so well known for, is to really think chronologically, to think our way through the Scriptures, through the plan of redemption, and even go back all the way to the why did God create? Why do we exist? Why did He create the universe? That helps us to answer this question of the why of the Great Commission. We begin there. Why? Why did God even create? He didn't have to create anything. Why do we exist? Why does everything exist? What's the purpose of our existence? Well, we know that God is a God of glory. And what is the glory of God? The glory of God is everything that He is, as you see being unfolded on the screen. I love to play with PowerPoint. You see that. How do you describe God on a PowerPoint slide? But I've made an attempt here just to show all that He is, all of His attributes, all of His character, all of His majesty, everything that He is the glory of God. And that's what it's really all about, the glory of God. He's a great and glorious God. He is great, infinitely glorious. Before creation, before anything existed, God was there. That's where we start with the chronological lessons. And in the tribes, we endeavor to do that. It really sort of blows people's minds in the tribes. And it does anybody that you share it with, that God was always there. He's infinitely glorious, above and beyond our wildest imagination or dreams. That's what He was before. We often think, you know, in the beginning God created, you know, we think that it begins with a creation story. But it's long before that. Long before that, He was infinitely glorious. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Why? Why? For His glory. That's why He created, to manifest His glory. Glory must be manifested. And that's why we exist. That's why this universe exists. That's why God created the universe. John Piper talks about this in his excellent little book there, Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ, a book that's really, really so affected me in the last year or so. He talks about the ultimate purpose of all of life and history, of all existence. He says the created universe is all about glory. The deepest longing of the human heart and the deepest meaning of heaven and earth are summed up in this, the glory of God. We get so taken up with many things in the Christian life, we seem to miss the big picture, miss the very reason of it all. You know, we have these wonderful pictures coming back from this Hubble spacecraft. And what are they doing? They're just really showing us that the heavens do declare the glory of God. That's why all the universe exists. It's all about glory. Piper goes on to say sometimes people stumble over this vastness of the universe in relation to the apparent insignificance of man. It does seem, he says, to make us sort of infinitesimally small. But the meaning of this magnitude, I love this, the meaning of this magnitude is not mainly about us. It's about God. the reason for wasting, quote unquote, so much space on a universe to house a speck of humanity on a speck of a planet, on a speck of a solar system, on a speck of the Milky Way galaxy amid all the other galaxies, the reason is to make a point about the Creator God, the maker of it all, and not about us. We're so self-focused. Even in our Christian service, in our Christian ministry, and Christian life and walk, we get very self-focused and think it's really all about us. And it's not. Primarily, it's about Him. And we're here for Him. We're here for Him. Piper goes on. I'm going to get this to change. Piper goes on. See there? How are we doing? There we are. How far did we go there? Okay, it's all about Him. And He not only created the universe and created the heavens, but He created the heavenly host. Blessed be your glorious name, you, even you, our Lord alone. You have made heaven and made heaven and heavens of heavens with all their host. Who are they? The angels. The host of heaven worships you. That's why He created the angels. This, we also must understand that. They were created for His glory. For His glory. You just have to change that, Nigel, for me. Why did Lucifer sin? Did you ever think about that? The greatest of those angels was Lucifer. Why did he sin? Well, it says you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Above the stars of God, give me a break. You know, I will sit. This I will business, that's God's line alone. That's why even God tells us in the book of James, don't, you know, say I will do this or I will do this. I will do that if the Lord wills, it says. He's the sovereign God. Why did Lucifer sin? We often say, well, he became proud. Why did he become proud? Because he wanted to steal that glory. He wanted to steal the glory of God. He wanted to steal it. And if we can move that on. No, it's not going to happen. God said, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. My glory I will not give to another. Well, that's the universe, the heavens, the heavenly host. We also have to look at the why. Why earth? Why in the beginning? You know, God created the heavens and the earth, it says. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? He did that. Why did he create it so wonderful, so with such manifold variety and beauty? And why did he make such a variety and diversity in creation? Why did he make so many fragrances? Why did he make so many tastes, so many wonderful colors? Why? It's all really because he made the wonders of creation because he loves us and wants to show us his glory. That's why he created earth. And why did he create you and I? Why did he create man? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. According to our likeness, we were to be reflectors of his likeness and his glory. That's why he created us. Reflectors, reflecting his glory. We often say sometimes that man is made for friendship and fellowship, as if God really needed fellowship. We often hear that sometimes. Oh, God created man because he longed for fellowship. He longed for friendship as if he needed it. But really, really, the reason he created us was to reflect his glory, to reflect his glory. That's why he created us. Why? Why did he do that? His original purpose, his ultimate purpose, the goal of life and all of life, earth and history, history on earth, was really to fill, see if we can get this thing going here, to reveal this original purpose back in the Garden of Eden. Back in the Garden of Eden, he gave that original purpose to Adam and Eve. What was his first command to them? Remember, think about this. What was his first command to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Why? I love this question. Why? Why did he tell them to do that? just to fill the earth with kids and a lot of people. Why? Why did he do that? He said, to fill the earth with his image and likeness, to fill the earth with his glory. And you know what? You know what? This is really the why of God's very first command in Scripture, but also the why of his last command, the last command of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, so-called. This is the why. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Declare, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things. Why? For your pleasure, and they are and were created. Why? Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Well, blessed be, here it is. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And here's the heartbeat of God. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. That's what it's all about. That's what life's all about. That's really the why of the Great Commission. So the why of missions is really, must be, a passion for the glory of God among all nations. You know, it's not just about the need. We look at these tribal people. We look at people in our cities, the street children. We see such great needs. That is not the primary reason for missions. The primary reason must be, indeed, to fill the earth with his glory. Give unto the Lord, you families of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. It's all about the glory, dear friends. We were made for this. We were made for this. As in Isaiah, he said, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, whom I've created for my glory, says the Lord. Salvation, the Christian life, missions is really to see the glory of God, to savor the glory of God, to show forth that glory of God, and to share that glory of God with the nations. That's why we exist. Well, let's just look at these quickly. To see the glory of God. We already seen this, that he created all this up there so that we could see. Even those tribal people are able to look up there and see and say, wow! And to realize that those heavens are declaring the glory of a great and glorious creator, a maker of all of it. Scripture tells us, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this. That he knows me, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, that it's really all about me. Well, the Apostle Paul put it this way, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Even more precisely, he said that we were prepared beforehand for glory. Prepared beforehand for glory. That's why we were created. That's why. To make known. I love this. Romans, Paul. To make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy. That's you and I. Piper goes on to say, the ache of every human heart is an ache for this. But we suppress it. And we do not see fit to have God in our knowledge. Therefore, this is the why, really, of the temptation. Why the fall? Therefore, the entire creation has fallen into disorder. You know, a very familiar passage now fits into here that very, very, very exactly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, I honestly believe with all my heart that when Adam and Eve were created, they were clothed with the glory of God. That's why they didn't recognize they were naked. They didn't recognize they were naked. They were clothed in the glory of God. And I don't have a verse of scripture for that. But there's other passages like with Moses going up to that Mount Sinai and coming down really with this radiance that had to be veiled. And other passages talking about the countenance of the Lord. I honestly believe they were clothed in the glory of God. They didn't recognize. But when they sinned, what happened? Woof! They lost it. What a horrible thing that was. All have sinned. Piper, in one of his messages, John Piper says, this is really the ultimate outrage of human history. That man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the glory of God is not honored. The holiness of God is not reverenced. The greatness of God is not admired. The power of God is not praised. The truth of God is not sought. The wisdom of God is not esteemed. The beauty of God is not treasured. The goodness of God is not savored. The faithfulness of God is not trusted. The promises of God are not relied on. Imagine it. The commandments of God are not obeyed. The justice of God is not respected. The wrath of God is not feared. The grace of God is not cherished. The presence of God is not prized. And the person of God is not loved. The infinite, all-glorious, imagine it, the all-glorious creator of this universe, by whom and for whom all things exist, who holds every one of our lives in being at this very moment, our very next breath, he's disregarded, disbelieved, disobeyed, dishonored in this world that he created for his glory. Again, he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another. He tells us that no flesh should glory in his presence. And let him that glories glory in this. Let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Well, he not only wants us to see the glory of God, he wants us to savor the glory of God. To savor the glory of the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ who is the image of God. This is why Christ came. Why did he come? Scripture tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is why he saved us. You know, when Jesus, you ever notice in John 17, before in that high priestly prayer, before Jesus went to the cross, what did he pray very first of all in that prayer? Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He was headed for the cross. What did he mean by that? What does the cross have to do with the glory? Everything. It is where the glory, where the righteousness, the holiness, the wrath and the justice of God met the love and the grace and the mercy of God. That's the greatest demonstration of the glory in all of history. That's the glory. Very interesting, though. Before we come to this one, can we go back? Yeah, there we go. Why he saved us. We often think he saved us because we were very, very needy sinners, and we were. But you know why he saved us? For his glory. Look at this. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name. This is our appeal in prayer. Deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake or for your glory's sake. In 1 John, it says, little children, your sins are forgiven you for his glory's sake, for his name's sake, for his name's sake. Well, why did he save us? He saved us for himself. And why does he want us in heaven? Do you ever think about this? He not only wants us to savor the glory of God in this life, but forever and ever. This just blew me out of the water when I rediscovered, and the Lord just showed me this verse in a brand new, fresh way. Where Jesus prayed, Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me may be with me where I am. Why? To see my glory. To see my glory that you have given me. That puts a whole different perspective on heaven, doesn't it? That's what we're going to be doing forever and ever. He's put this glory in us. I help not only with New Tribes and representing New Tribes in Connecticut and Rhode Island and Massachusetts while caring for Carolyn's parents. We also teach in the Providence City Mission. Just an hour a week they called. I was mentoring a guy and he ended up in the rescue mission there. And they called and asked me if I would be willing to mentor him, but also to maybe teach a class. It's a discipleship program, not the fellows that come in off the street for overnight shelter, but I became so burdened about what ministry to guys like this was really all about. And how would they change? I mean, they showed so much promise. They asked me, what would you teach? I said, well, creation to Christ. And, oh, would you really do that? Yes. And we'll just look at God's redemptive story and the highlights of redemption right through Scripture. And it's been really great to take that Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, that excellent tool, and to do that. Well, some of them go bombing out, and it's so saddening to see. Guys, it's showing great promise. And in my discouragement, I just was praying, Lord, what is it going to take for these guys to change? And he gave me this verse on the glory. It's there in that chapter where Moses was coming down from Sinai, and his face was indeed radiant there, and he veiled himself. He was talking there, the whole chapter is about ministry, the ministry of the old covenant, which was gloriously given, the chapter says. But how much more glorious is that ministry of the new covenant, grace? The law told us what we should do, but didn't give us the power to do it. But grace is indeed the power to do God's will. That's what grace is all about. Glorious grace. And then he ends this chapter with this. Look at this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, Lord, I see it. How do people change? How do I change? When I see the glory. You know, when we look at Him, when we look at Him, something happens. When we behold His glory and see Him in the Scripture, when we realize and see just so many of these passages about the glory of God, they're just blowing my mind. I challenge you to take a concordance. Take your Bible software and just start, put in that word glory or glorify, glorifying. Put in the terms in His, for His namesake. Put in the terms magnify, exalt, praise, worship. All these have to do with glorifying the Lord. And it blows you away. It's blowing me away as I continue that study. It's all about the glory of the Lord. This is how we're changed. When we see His glory. As the team goes on the street, that's what we need to pray. That they would be able to share the glory of Jesus Christ. That people would see Him for who He really is. And be changed. And come, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt or glorify His name together. If I be lifted up, Jesus said. If I be lifted up. And that's where He was glorified there on that cross. I would draw all men unto me. He not only wants us to see and to savor, but He wants us to show forth that glory. Paul talks about this, mentions it three times in the book of Ephesians, that we should be to the praise of what? To His glory. The praise of His glory. That this is really the why of salvation. That God's glory would be shining through you and I. That's why this genius, the wonderful genius of salvation, that He would come and live within us by His Spirit. Christ in you, Paul put it. The hope of glory. Well, we have this treasure, this glory in earthen vessels, Paul said. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. These earthen vessels, these cracked pots. I didn't understand why Paul would say, I glory in my infirmities. I didn't quite grasp that. Why would he say that? Well, because those cracks, those weaknesses, those infirmities in our life, you know what they're doing? They're used of God to let that glory shine through. Now I understand when he says, when I am weak, he is strong. The witness of his glory is strong. And people will see him through us. Well, now I understand this verse better. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the glory of God. It all makes sense. It all makes sense. So he not only wants to see and to savor and show forth that glory. Finally, he wants us to share that glory with the world. You know, when we consider just the glories of our salvation, the glory of God, the glories of our Savior and all, now I understand what Paul meant, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. You know, if we realize who God really is, how glorious and great He is, how glorious and great His power is, when we realize just we can keep pushing these, Nigel. We can just push them right through. The glorious message of the gospel. The glorious good news that we have to share. It is glorious. Paul refers to it as the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It's ever to save to the uttermost. When we really consider that the reality of the Christian life, that we are in Christ, this positional truth in Ephesians, and realize who we really are in Christ, and the glorious position that we have, and the glorious privilege and responsibility that position gives us. When we realize just how great and glorious this reality of Christ living in us. The hope of glory. That glorious provision and power that's resident within us. When we realize the glorious task and responsibility that He's given us to reach every creature, knowing every person is significant, we'll spend eternity either in heaven or hell. What a responsibility that is. The glorious privilege and opportunity of making disciples, being part of it, making it happen. Realizing. Can we go back there just one second? The awesome. I found this definition of discipleship and mentoring. The awesome blessing of having a part in what God is doing in another person's heart and life. For His glory, of course. Now, we have these glorious promises. In light of all that responsibility, we have glorious promises. Look at this one. What a bargain. Faithful is He that calls you, who will also do it. What He calls us to do, He says He'll do it. What a bargain. He says in the context of the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, and I am with you. We pray, oh Lord, be with us in this, and be with us in this outreach, and be with us in this trip we're going to take. The context of this promise, dear friends, is in the context of making disciples. I'm going to be with you in this. I'm going to do this. The glorious blessing of taking the gospel to places where it's never gone. To putting the gospel, the word of God, into the language of people who've never had it before. Of taking it to these uttermost parts of the earth. Of the glorious prospect that some from every nation, tongue, and tribe will someday sing with us, as we already mentioned this evening, worthy is the Lamb that is slain. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What a glorious thing and prospect that is. Well, why did Daniel and Elizabeth go out there to the Inupang people? Why did they go out there? Why did they go to this new tribe? Why did they go into a place there to join the team there to learn the language and culture of these people? Why did they go in there to make their life there, to live among these people? Why did they do that? To learn their language and culture, to teach them to read and write. Why? To teach them the Word of God from creation to Christ. Why? Why? That at the name of Jesus, every knee, yes, among the Inupang people should bow. Of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, we know what happened back in 2007. That new church there that was born, to God be the glory for that. We know that there's been great glory, great excitement there as they've reached out now to the Bongan village. Also the Inupang tribe, by the way. It's not a new tribe. The Bongan people are just another village of 535 people. And the Inupang church now reaching out with Daniel and going there and doing most of the teaching. Why? To take the glory. Take and proclaim the glory. To declare His glory among those people. And now we know what's going on. Glorious rejoicing. Well, we finish with these. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's where history's going, dear friends. That's what it's all about. That's what the Great Commission's all about. That's what our life is all about. All about His glory forever and ever. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I close with a little story here. Carol and I were on our way down to East London to do a seminar several years ago. And as we were driving down the motorway, we were told that as you come down that M11 there and into London, that you have to sort of, you go off and you go in right, just jumps you right in East London to really be careful. There were speed cameras along there. And it was the most notorious speed camera, really making more money than any other speed camera in the whole nation. So I was watching out. And as we were driving down the motorway there, there was a van. See if I That's not the one. Of course, I wasn't taking pictures of the wheel. But like that, right there, a van that went ahead, and you know, it just went zoom right by us, and I just caught the image on the side of the van. There was an image of a motorcycle racer there, like this, and it said motorcycle racing team or something. Didn't quite get the name. And on the back two doors of that van were these two words: pure focus. And I thought to myself, look at that. Look at that. Pure focus on what? You know. I thought to myself, you know, those two words should be written across our lives as Christians. Purely focused on what? Consumed with what? Purely focused with the awesome glory of God as the very motivation for our life and our walk with Him, for our service for Him, and a passion for finishing His work. That's what missions is all about. That's the why of the Great Commission. It's all about Him and His glory. You know, each one of us, each one of our lives is like a story. We have a story, and the big problem is that we want to star in the story of me, you know, of us. You know, I love that song that the music group sang there at the beginning, My Life Song. May my life song sing what? It's about you, isn't it? Well, we have a life story, each one of us. And you know, really, salvation and growth in Christ is really exchanging this little story of us, this little story of us, to become part of the big story. The story of God. That's what it's all about. The story of God. Have you done that? Are you still all about you? Still all about you in your Christian life? Maybe it just even not even knowing Christ. It's all about you, isn't it? Starring in the story of you. And you know, we got these movie stars, you know, and they got these big stories, and they think that, oh, it's all about them. But we do too in our own little story. What about your story? Have you come to the place where you're wanting to exchange that little story, the story of me that will come to an end, for that part in the unending story, being saved for His glory, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ for His glory, reflecting that glory in all that we do, part of His unending story? What a great privilege. I trust that's your story tonight, that you've done that. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this evening. They've shown us very clearly in your word that it's not about us. It's really about you. And when you're glorified, Father, it's all for our good. When Jesus was glorified and lifted up there, that was for our salvation. Thank you, our Father, that you have such a glorious plan, and that we can be part of that plan, Lord. That glorious plan of salvation, that we have the privilege of not only believing, but also then sharing with others. And we would pray, our Father, that you'd use the team, as they've been commissioned now and are going out in the next 2 weeks, that you'd use them to really lift up and magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in their witness and their work and their ministry here. That people would see your glory in them, not just hear about you, but see you in them and be drawn to the Savior. That many, Father, might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and know His glory for who He really is. Thank you, our Father, for this time and your word, just being able to see this overview about your glory this evening. We pray you'd challenge our hearts and bless us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.